Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Welcome to Least of These, where I cover the cases that need it most, because every life matters and everyone deserves justice. I'm your host, Leah D, and today things are going to be different. We've been on the struggle bus around here, first with a respiratory virus, and then we got over that just for my whole house to catch a stomach flu. Good times. But even when you're on the struggle bus, sometimes it's all part of a bigger plan. While I wasn't able to research or put together a case this week, I do want to talk to you, because as we were all forced into bed rest, I had nothing but time to scroll social media and then sit back and reflect. And I feel called to talk to y'all today, so please bear with me. This isn't our usual thing. But I feel with everything in me that what I have to say is important. So I hope you stick around. And with that said, let's get right to it. Over the past 2 weeks, many of us have witnessed the ending of two lives by simply scrolling social media. We didn't even have to go looking. It was just there on the home screen. The world feels dark, and it seems violence is at every turn. We're becoming desensitized in a way I don't think we've ever been before. Sure, history has had some really, really dark times. But in the past, we didn't have a 24-hour news cycle and high-definition videos of the actual murder of human beings being thrown in our faces every time we open up our phones. Just as I'm coming to you today, the story of 21-year-old Trey Reed is breaking. I have none of the details in that case. There are all kinds of things circulating on social media, one of them being graphic videos of this young man's body. His family is begging people not to share it. Think about that. They have lost someone they love, and they're begging us, the general public, not to add to their grief by sharing graphic images of this young man and his death. Then there's the tragic murder of Erna Zarutska, who was just coming home from work. She came to this country from a war-torn one to escape the violence and was murdered for no reason on our streets. She was just sitting there on that bus, trying to get home from work. I saw that video, as I'm sure many of you did, completely against my will. I was just scrolling, and I saw it happen before I knew what I was watching. The fear and terror in her eyes as she realized she was dying is something I'll never forget, or the fact that no one rushed to her side. Have we really lost all decency, all sense of humanity? We're becoming so desensitized to violence, it doesn't affect us even when it's right there before our own very eyes. In the aftermath, it's literally posted for likes and clicks. Erna's family also had to beg for people to stop sharing the video. Erna came to this country seeking safety and liberty because America has long been a beacon of hope and freedom, a place of refuge and open ideas, where we fight in the ballot box and not in the streets. She ain't perfect, but by God, she allows more freedom than most of the rest of the world. Erna loved this country so much, her family chose to bury her here, even after this country failed her. America can't continue to be a place of refuge if she doesn't remain free. And my friends, we are treading in some dangerous waters. The question is, can we keep America free? And let me preface this by saying that question isn't for any politician or any particular side of any political aisle. That question is for you, my friend. You, the one who tunes in every week because you believe in justice and in right and wrong. You who are here in this true crime community because you care. You who believe that this country should be safe for our children and our grandchildren, and those who come here seeking safety. I said when I started this podcast, I'd never get political. And don't worry, I'm really not about to now. This isn't political, or at least it shouldn't be. I represent victims and their families from all kinds of different backgrounds, and my platform belongs to them and to God. It doesn't belong to me because none of this is about me. I've never wanted it to be. But I'd be a coward if I didn't speak out, because we all just watched not only Erna be viciously attacked and brutally murdered, but we also watched a man get assassinated in broad daylight. There is a whole new threat on the rise, political violence. It's not a new threat. It's something we've seen before. Maybe not all of us in our lifetimes, but it's an enemy we've faced before and one we've read about in history books. But again, back then, things were different. There wasn't that 24-hour news cycle or social media, which brings about a whole nother issue. Political violence coupled with desensitization and dehumanization. Twice, someone has tried to assassinate Donald Trump. Melissa and Mark Hortman were murdered in their homes along with their family dog, Gilbert. Gilbert didn't immediately die in the attack. Their children had to make the difficult decision to euthanize him because he was so gravely injured. All this after learning that their parents had been murdered. Melissa Hortman was a Minnesota state representative. She was also a mother of two and a Sunday school teacher. She was a Sunday school teacher. Minnesota State Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette were also attacked and shot in their own home. One of the bullets narrowly missed Senator Hoffman's heart. Their daughter, who was in her 20s, was home at the time of the attack. Yvette threw herself in front of their daughter and shielded her body from the bullets. This mother used her body as a human shield to protect the life of her daughter. She never hesitated. Thankfully, the Hoffman family survived. The deranged psychopath that attacked these Democratic lawmakers had a list of reportedly 60 or so others he wanted to kill. Why? Presumably because he didn't agree with their policy decisions. All of this because someone didn't agree with their viewpoints. On September 10th, Charlie Kirk was assassinated at a college campus in Utah while he was there debating students. You see, Charlie encouraged civil discourse and invited people who vehemently disagreed with him to open debate. He built his career on that, starting at just 18 years old. And while he was there doing just that, he was executed by a coward from a rooftop. Instead of coming forward and debating him with words, this coward chose a bullet and ended Charlie's life in front of thousands. He collapsed with the mic still in his hand. Charlie Kirk was a 31-year-old father of two, ages 3 and 1, and a devout follower of Jesus Christ. These people are no longer with us because someone disagreed with their opinions. They committed no crimes, but they were executed for their beliefs. There is nothing more un-American than that. And worse than that, in the aftermath of Charlie's assassination, people actually celebrated. I'm talking dancing. I saw someone who claimed to be a pastor of a church dancing because Charlie Kirk was dead. And there were thousands of comments with people expressing their joy in the death of another human being. And there's no way around it. Celebrating the violent death of an innocent man is evil. The video of his death has been shared countless times. His kids are going to grow up one day, and that video is still going to be there, circulating on the internet. There's one story coming out of Canada. I think the reporting was from the Toronto Sun. A teacher showed a class full of 10 and 11-year-olds the video of Kirk's assassination while giving a speech to the students about anti-fascism, apparently accusing Kirk of being a fascist. You know what's fascist? Shooting someone in the neck because you don't agree with them. Teachers in districts all over the U.S. are being placed on leave or suspended for some of the things that have been said in relation to Charlie's assassination. Absolutely vile things. And don't misunderstand me, free speech is so important. People should be able to say whatever they want. But do you really want people who celebrate the deaths of others, regardless of their personal beliefs, in charge of shaping the minds of children? I mean, we really gotta think about that. I don't care if you don't agree with a word the man ever said. It doesn't justify cold-blooded murder, and it sure as hell isn't worthy of a celebration. While we were all homesick and I was just scrolling on TikTok, I watched another video of a mom, just a random mom, talking to her two young girls. I am a horrible judge of age, but one of them was maybe like 8 or 10 and the other a little older, maybe 10 or 12. The mom said, "I have the best news. Can you guess what it is?" And these two beautiful little girls said, "Is Donald Trump dead?" She said, "No, guess again." "Is the vice president dead?" "Elon Musk. Is Elon Musk dead?" She laughed and then said, "No. My best friend is getting married. Taylor Swift is engaged to Travis Kelce." That hit me right in the heart. Looking at these two girls, so young and so innocent, and they thought the best news in the world is that someone was dead. I don't care who that someone is. These are children, and that's not a natural response. You'd expect their first guesses to be, "We're going to Disneyland," or maybe, "We're getting a puppy." "Your best friend is coming over for a sleepover. We're getting pizza for dinner." But no, their top three guesses were the deaths of political figures. And the best news? Her BFF Taylor Swift was getting married? I mean, I'm happy for Taylor Swift and all, truly. But the parasocial relationships are out of control. But that's a whole nother issue, and we're not getting sidetracked today. What are we teaching our children? Because they're watching. They're watching our reactions to all of this. They're looking to us for guidance, and if the best we've got is dancing on the grave of any other human being, whether that's on the right, left, Democrat, Republican, Independent, it doesn't matter. If that's what we're doing, we're headed in a very dark direction. Our kids have so much going against them in this day and age of social media already. We should be guiding them into the light instead of holding their hand and marching them directly into darkness. Over the last 2 weeks, I've had multiple discussions with parents whose kids, all the way from very young school age to teenagers, were shown videos of the murders of Charlie and Erna by friends or other kids at school. These videos were joked about and made light of. Some bragged about how much blood or how gory. Others laughed at the body's response to death or the fear in Erna's eyes. That should chill every one of us to the bone. That's more than just desensitization. That's dehumanization and a lack of humanity. And if you care about crime, that's a recipe for disaster. Charlie's murder was brutal, horrific, and honestly one of the most disturbing things I've ever watched. And so was Erna's. We're not meant to watch the life drain out of another human being. And again, I didn't even mean to see it. And think about that. When it comes to school shootings, images like the ones most of us saw are burned into the minds of the children who survived them. So not only are children dead, there are so many who have to live.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states, thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Traumatized with those memories seared in their brains, images of their friends getting killed. It's also not lost on me that the killer at Annunciation School also joked about killing people. And then he did. He killed children, making videos of weapons with a mix of political messages like "Kill Donald Trump." And I'm not even sure what to call the other stuff. I think they call it brain rot. But there were these slogans and phrases that showed he was chronically online. They were written on the guns and ammunition he used to carry out the attack. There was also a target with an image of Jesus on it. He had an obsession with the coward who murdered children at Sandy Hook, and wrote that he often fantasized about being the monster standing over those powerless kids. It makes me physically sick to my stomach to repeat those words. But at 20 years old, he was so far gone that those were the thoughts he had. Think back to your thoughts at 20. It was nothing along those lines. At 20, I wasn't consumed in an online world or obsessed with politics. I was mostly worried about how to sneak into a bar or what was on sale at Old Navy. It all leaves me with what I think is the most important question of all. What world are we creating for our children? This killer had posted all kinds of sick shit online before he carried out his attack. No one called it out, though. No one called the law. And this is just me thinking out loud here, but did no one call it out because it didn't stand out? Like, no one took him seriously. Has wishing death on people and joking about murder become commonplace on some corners of the internet? Referring to each other as Nazis or fascists, socialists or libtards, maggots or whatever the hell you want to come up with, has become so commonplace we can't even just have a conversation anymore and instead pick up a gun. There's obviously not just one answer as to why these things happen, but there does seem to be a common thread more recently. As the conversations spiral into hatred and constant attacks, the actual violence, both ideological and political, increases. It seems we're becoming so obsessed with someone's politics, we place an ideology before the person. You're either 100% on this side or that side, and you have to toe the line on every issue. And if you don't, you're worthless. You're a Nazi. Y'all, is that where we're heading? Or worse, is that where we are? I sure hope not, because it doesn't have to be that way. We can do better. We can listen to each other with the intent to understand, and be decent even when we don't agree. Stop putting each other in imaginary boxes or deciding whether someone should live or die based on clips we've seen on TikTok or a tweet we read once. We're humans. We're much more complex than that, and we're capable of being better. There's always going to be evil out there in the world. It's existed since the beginning of time. But it's how we respond to that evil that makes all the difference. And adding to the hate, I promise you, is not the solution. We have to be the ones who teach the future generations that, or else we literally lose it all. But how do we do that? Well, we sure as hell don't look to politicians. Sure, we can be involved in the political processes because they are important. We have the right and should express our views at the ballot box. But policies take time, and governments move slow. And this is so much bigger and deeper than that. If we're waiting for a politician to save us, I've got really bad news. It ain't gonna happen, because our very souls are at stake. Everything good about America was never about any president or any one policy. The beauty in America is her people, us, a diverse group just out here participating in the great experiment of freedom. It hasn't always been that way, and I get it, I do. As a nation, we've faced dark times, but we have always strived for better, and that's what we have to do today. All of us, myself included, believe me, I'm not just preaching to y'all. But there are things we as individuals can do. We need to look at ourselves and what we're engaging in. We have to become aware that our algorithms feed our beliefs, and it's easy to end up in an echo chamber where we hear no other position than one we agree with. We're in that echo chamber for so long and so often that a differing opinion is jarring and feels like a personal attack. We have to take a step back. Take a step back and examine ourselves and critically think and ask ourselves, what do you really believe and why? The why is so important. We have to stop judging each other off 30-second soundbites or a tweet and listen with the intent to understand and engage with each other civilly. And we should defend the right to express even the ideas you completely disagree with. In fact, we should defend them most. After Charlie Kirk's death, many are learning for the first time that some of the sound bites and quotes attributed to him were cut into a way that made it seem he was racist, homophobic, and all kinds of other things. Clips and quotes without context have led many to believe he was this person out there spewing hate about all different kinds of communities, when in reality, he just wanted open discussion with all of them. You don't have to agree with his viewpoints, but he was not hateful or violent. And if that statement shocks you, I beg you to go and watch the full video or read the full quote that made you think he was and see if you still feel that way. Most of all, Charlie shared his unshakable faith in God. And that was the thing about Charlie Kirk that I always admired. Me and Charlie had that thing in common, our faith. I only wish to be as bold in mine as he was in his. He didn't deserve this. No one does. Melissa and Mark Hortman didn't deserve to be executed in their own homes, and certainly not Gilbert. John and Yvette Hoffman didn't deserve to be attacked. Their daughter shouldn't have had to witness that. Charlie Kirk didn't deserve to be assassinated. I really can't even believe I have to say these things out loud. In a free and civil society, there is no room for political violence. I don't care how right you think you are. If you pick up a gun and end someone's life over a policy or an opinion, you're wrong. You are no better than any other murderer. In fact, you're worse. You're worse because not only is it an assault on the individuals, it's an assault on free speech and the republic. Our battles are not fought with guns. They're fought with ballots and open and civil discussion. We as a nation decided that. We can't fight the injustices around us if we're too consumed fighting each other and refusing to engage civilly. And we can't do any of that without the freedom to express our ideas. If we lose that, we lose this country. And all of us, left and right and everything in between, lose our freedoms. When it comes to our kids, we have to protect them. We have to monitor what they're viewing online. I know in my day, you know, back in those old days of the internet, you couldn't just hop on and watch someone die. But our kids, well, they can, and they do. And not only are they seeing it, they're seeing it between jokes and memes. Like you can be scrolling, watching a funny cat video, and the next video is literally a graphic video of someone's murder. The effects of that on our minds, but especially the minds of our children, cannot be overstated. This will not only shape their minds, but also their souls. Many spend more time online than with their families or interacting in real life. So there they are, alone and isolated, and hearing violent rhetoric and watching graphic images. Put yourself in their shoes. Imagine being a kid, seeing those violent images and trying to process it, alone and isolated. And the people online are laughing, so maybe you should be laughing too. But something in your soul tells you it's wrong. But maybe you're wrong, because everyone else is celebrating or laughing it off. Maybe you're the weak one. Maybe you should lighten up. I mean, you don't know this person anyway, and user 1492 says they're a racist and they deserved it. You shouldn't feel bad. No one else does. Why do you feel bad? Are you a racist too? Your soul knows it's inherently wrong, but your mind becomes convinced otherwise. The internal conflict they must be feeling, all while their young minds are still developing. That's why we have to be hyper-vigilant about the content our children are engaged in and watching and how much time they're spending online. And we as adults have to lead by example, put down the phone, turn off the TV. Our every thought doesn't need to be tweeted. Sometimes we need reflection before we just react and speak. We have to be careful not only with our actions, but our words. And we have to spend more time together. Really spend time together. Take a walk. Ask your kids their opinions and listen. Voice yours, because I promise you they're hearing the opinions of others. We have to guide them through this life, especially the heavy stuff. We need to spend more time with our families, but also in our communities and churches. Don't have a community? Build one. Volunteer. Do something that serves others, because that's what keeps us humble and human and offline. And lastly, just be kind to each other. Make peace with those you have disagreements with. You don't have to agree, but you can still love them. No matter what is going on around you, you don't have to give in to hate. You can always choose love. I know it sounds silly, and I know that our problems are huge, so it sounds crazy to say just be kind. But I believe with my whole heart that kindness and truth can literally change the world. We're here in this world full of so much darkness, but we are called to be the light. I love you all so much, and Jesus does too. And that's about all I got to say about that. Whew. That was a lot, but y'all, God laid it on my heart to come to you today with that message. I'm sure there's going to be people who might get upset. This isn't the content you came here today to hear. But if I ever want to be out of a job, and believe me, I want to be out of a job, we gotta stop killing each other. And for that world to exist, we can't allow the hate to consume us. I am so glad you stuck around to hear me out. I really just want the world to be a better place for you and for me and for everyone. I think I'll be back to my normally scheduled content next week. That is, unless I get canceled. But let me just say this. The last message you ever hear from me before you dip out is that Jesus loves you, and to be kind to one another, I am completely okay with that. Thank you for listening. Thank you for caring. If you know something, say something. And until next time, be good to each other.